Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 42 of Real Stories. Today will be a paranormal-themed episode, and I've got some great stories to read to you guys, so let's get started. So this was when my oldest daughter was 3 to 4 years old. I'll call her Jay. I was cleaning the house while Jay piddled around with her toys in her room. I would occasionally check on her while she was doing this. When I started sweeping our living room, Jay started running back and forth from the living room to her room at the end of the hall, just laughing and running. Thinking she's just tickled about something, I ignore her and continue sweeping. Jay runs up to me and just dead stops. She looks up with this blank face and says, "She said she's coming for you, Mommy." Jay looks down for a moment, turns around, and proceeds to continue running and laughing like nothing happened. I didn't even know how to respond to that. Do I want to know who she is? Nope. Did I want to ask my daughter what she meant by it? Definitely not. Did I grab her and spend the night at my mother's house that night? You bet I did. Normally I'm pretty skeptical about most things, but that being as weird and random as it was really creeped me out. She's 8 now and doesn't remember it, but I sure do. Big time yikes on that story. Wow, that was a really short story, but it packed a lot of punch because that was straight up terrifying. So our author is just cleaning the house and their daughter is just off being a kid, just chilling in their room, playing with her little toys. Pretty normal stuff. She's then running around, laughing, and just having a good old time. Our author doesn't really pay much attention to this because she just assumes, rightfully so, that, you know, she's just doing what the kids do. They just run around. However, her daughter runs up to her and says, quote, "She said she is coming for you, Mommy." She then just turns around and runs off, laughing again like nothing happened. That is so scary. What does that even mean, first of all? She said she is coming for you. Who? Who's coming for you? Who is talking to this child, first of all? And what are they going to do with the mom? This is a ghost and or a demon. Gotta be one of those two, because who else is talking to this girl? And she's like 3 or 4 years old, so she doesn't understand like the severity of what she just said and, you know, what it could possibly entail. Unfortunately, that message was very creepy because it's so ominous and you don't know what that means. That just sounds like it could be all sorts of horrible things. So apparently, in this family, they have a paranormal connection because in the comments, our author says, in response to somebody inquiring about maybe a possible imaginary friend, they say that one of their cousins used to have an invisible friend named Daniel. But supposedly, Daniel was bad, and their cousin was always getting hurt and blamed the invisible friend, which is very, very creepy. Also, apparently, Daniel was a real person who had unalived themselves, and they later found that out when they were a little older, luckily, but not much older. They found that out when they were 14, so still a pretty harsh, grim reality for a kid to have to face. But their cousin is like 19 now and remembers all of it and swears that Daniel is real. So at least somebody in the family like remembers these paranormal experiences. So on the more logical hand, you know, kids do have great imaginations. But for a kid to just be running and laughing and then say something very creepy like that, it could just be nothing. Like, you know, maybe they're just having the little imaginary friend and they're playing tag. And, you know, the imaginary friend says that she's going to tag the author. It could very well be something like that. However, it just sounds very creepy. She says she's coming to get you. I don't exactly know what happened here, but I like this story. A Alrighty, guys, we'll get into our next story right after hearing a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. So, I want to talk to you guys about BetterHelp, but first I want to talk about mental health and why I think it's so important. Because for years, I was living with really bad anxiety that really affected me in a lot of ways. I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to be around big groups of people. And I was always just nervous and kind of paranoid and thinking the worst about things. However, when I decided and was finally able to talk to somebody about it and got the help and, in my case, maybe got on some medication, it was able to help me exponentially, and I wish I had done it sooner. So I say all that to say, if you're thinking about giving therapy a chance, I strongly recommend BetterHelp. BetterHelp has licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. And you can talk to them in an online environment at your convenience. No awkward waiting room. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. And all you have to do is fill out a quick questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. And then you can go on and schedule video or phone sessions, and you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. Also, if you're not feeling your therapist, you can request a new one at no additional charge anytime. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories, all one word. There's no time like the present to get your mental health in order, especially if you've been struggling. Reach out and get help. When I was 14 in 1994, my bedroom was in the attic of a 100-year-old house. My 7-year-old sister and parents had bedrooms on the second floor, and the main floor was mostly open with a cute 40s-style kitchen. One day, I was in my room when one of the kids visiting the second floor had accidentally made his way up into my room. He was quiet and just looked at me. This happened often, so I directed him back down the stairs to the second floor. An hour or so later, I walked downstairs to talk to my mom and casually asked where the kids went. She seemed confused and said that my sister wasn't home today and no kids were visiting. I walked up and down the stairs a few times, checked all the closets, and figured the kids must have left. Mom assured me she's been sitting between the only two doors of the house and no kids visited. I was sure I saw a kid, but it would have been hard to sneak around her twice, especially with the loud screen door. That night, before dinner, I'm skimming through the local paper. Every day they would publish anniversaries of local stories from 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100 years ago. This time, it was a story from about 50 years ago. It told about a kid who died when a bomb got loose from the World War II armory across the street and accidentally detonated in our kitchen. I look around and notice how our kitchen is from the 40s. Then I remember how I saw this kid earlier in the day, and it freaked me out. Was he the ghost kid? Even without the ghost kid, it's a weird story, but what if he was the ghost kid? We moved away from that house, and I always wondered about the ghost kid. So here's where things really get weird. When I moved in with a roommate 5 years later, we were telling stories back and forth one night and eventually get around to ghost stories, and I tell him about the ghost kid. He says, "Was it at 44 Front Ave East?" I say, yes. He didn't know me then, so this is very weird. That's my Uncle Bobby. He hit it with an ice pick. Wow. We just got confirmation of the ghost by verifying that they know who the ghost is. That is a first on this show, and that is crazy. So in this story, our author is about 14 years old at the time of this event. He's living in an attic, and the rest of his family lives on the second floor. He has a sister who would sometimes have friends over, and occasionally, they would get lost and make their way up to the attic. So one day, our author is in his room, and a kid makes his way up into his room. He was quiet and just looked at our author. This happened so often that our author directed him back downstairs to the second floor. So an hour or so later, he's talking to his mom, and he tells her about it. And she's very confused because his sister is not home, and there haven't been any kids over. So our author is just kind of in disbelief because he clearly just saw this little boy. But his mom reassures him that there definitely weren't any kids over. And it's not like they would have snuck past the mom. She was right near the doors to the house. So that same night at dinner, he is looking through their local newspaper. And they would sometimes publish anniversary stories from between 5 and 100 years ago. And on this night, there was a story from about 50 years ago. So this was in the 40s. And apparently, there was a kid who died when a bomb got loose from a World War II armory that is across the street from their house. And this bomb detonated in their kitchen. Let's just pause right there. That is already insane. There's a bomb that goes off in a civilian home that was left over from a World War II armory. That's crazy. And when that bomb went off, a kid died. So it's very tragic. So our author is immediately, you know, putting A and B together and is like, is that the ghost kid? You know, very weird coinkydink. Who knows? So it gets even stranger. So when he moves in with a roommate about 5 years later, they're just, you know, shooting the stuff, telling stories and whatnot, and eventually they get to telling ghost stories. So our author, having this weird coincidence happen, explains it to the roommate. And the roommate is like, did this happen at 44 Front Ave East? Which was the address that the kid grew up in and that all this happened at. And our author's like, yes. Which is very weird because they weren't friends with the roommate at the time. So it's very strange that he asked that. And the roommate then replies, that's my Uncle Bobby. He hit it with an ice pick. And what he means by that, if you have not figured it out, is that the kid apparently hit the bomb with an ice pick, and that's what made it go off. That's insane. What a crazy conclusion to this story. First of all, like I said at the beginning, he's confirming that the ghost is there and that he knows who the ghost is. Not only that, he also clarifies this very tragic story of how this bomb went off in a residential home. And apparently, very sadly, it was the kid's own doing. Not that he knew what he was doing, but it was his actions that resulted in this going off. So what a crazy story of ghosts and synchronicity. I loved that one. One bright and sunny day, about a year after graduating from the University at Buffalo in Buffalo, New York, my friend invited me over to his off-campus apartment. I was on my way to the mall, and I figured I'd stop by afterwards. When we got there, he introduced me to his friend, named Sleepy, like Sleepy Hollow. So after hanging out for a good half an hour, I began to cough because my throat was dry, and when I walked into the bathroom, there appeared to be a blood-like mist in the air. It even smelled like blood. My friend and I are both from blood gangs and are rich with the spirit, so I kind of disregard it. But my first thought was, I wonder how to turn a spirit into flesh. I figured all a spirit would need is sunlight and it could materialize. I was on my mad scientist thing that day, but again, I paid the mist no mind. I went back into the bedroom to continue to socialize but I was feeling sick from the red mist, so I decided to leave. After shaking my friend's hand and Sleepy's hand, I walked to the front door. When I opened the front door, someone was rudely blocking my exit path and was a little too close. When I looked up to see who it was, I froze when I realized that it was Sleepy. At first, it looked like he was sniffing as if he smelled blood. Then he stood up straight at attention with sort of a reassuring smile on his face. I was scared to death, and I was wondering if I had summoned this monster, but I kept it cool. But after being frozen for about 10 to 30 seconds, I extended my hand and the doppelganger shook my hand. I just had to think fast because this could be Sleepy's twin brother. But if it were a ghost, I wanted to touch or feel it too. Anyways, after shaking his hand, I turned around and slowly started walking back up the steps toward the room where my friends were. The doppelganger entered the house, closed the door behind us, and began to follow me. When I got to the bedroom, I quickly took a seat and pulled out a cigarette with the hand that I used to shake the doppelganger's hand with, and gave the cigarette to my friend right as the doppelganger entered the room. My hand was glowing and tingling from the contact with that so-called doppelganger. My friend froze in terror as his eyes met Sleepy's doppelganger. Sleepy began to cower and cry when he saw himself. I then asked Sleepy if he had a twin brother, and Sleepy said that he didn't. At this point, I'm not really scared because the doppelganger shook my hand. As Sleepy and the doppelganger locked eyes, I wanted to look at the doppelganger, but I didn't want to make eye contact. So I looked for it in the mirror, but it had no reflection at all. The mirror even seemed to be distorted or bent. After realizing that this monster was a vampire, I immediately lost all interest, stood up, and walked out of the bedroom, down the stairs, and out the front door. I never came back, and I have no clue how they made it out. Part 2. About a half a year later, this same friend of mine, who had just moved to a different off-campus apartment, invited me to his neighbor's house for drinks. I agreed to go. I bought some Hennessy, and I went over to his house. It was only my friend and I, plus his neighbors, who were a married couple. The man and wife were closest to the television. I was behind them, and my friend was behind me. But after about a half an hour of watching television, a woman bursts into the house. She was loud, and slammed the door behind herself. This college-aged woman quickly took a seat next to me and took out her iPhone and began to scroll. I paid a lot of attention to her because I figured my friend set me up on a blind date. But after about 20 minutes of her scrolling through her phone and me checking her out from the corner of my eye, she gets up and storms out, slamming the door behind her. When she entered, she didn't say a word to anybody, and when she exited, she didn't say a word either. I figured that she was just late to the party, but as it turns out, after asking my friend and his neighbors, nobody saw her but me. My conclusion? I was told that when you are touched by a vampire, instead of being bitten, you soon meet another vampire. Whoa, that was a crazy story. Vampires. I have not heard a story about vampires in a while, so that was why I was really drawn to this story. And just because it was so eerie and such an ominous ending. So, in this story, our author is hanging out with their friend at their apartment. So, at the apartment, it's our author, their friend, and their friend's roommate, Sleepy. So, they're just chilling, and our author began to cough because their throat was kind of dry. And when they walked into the bathroom, there appeared to be a blood-like mist in the air that even smelled like blood. They say that they and their friend are both from blood gangs and are rich with the spirit, so I kind of disregard it. I don't know what they mean by that. I'm not sure if they're talking about like some actual like gang type stuff, or if this is just like some lesser known little like occult group or whatever, but very ominous. But also, they are talking about how they wondered if they could turn a spirit into flesh. So they're already kind of out there, and they're having some interesting thoughts on their mind. So after a little while, they decide they were going to go home. And when they open the front door, they realize that somebody is blocking their exit. And when they look up to see who it was somebody who looked identical to Sleepy. At first, this second sleepy character at the door was sniffing as if he smelled blood, and then he stood up straight at attention with sort of a reassuring smile on his face, the author says. So they're scared to death because they are wondering, why are there two identical guys? Because she didn't know if Sleepy had a twin brother or not. And after they shake this person's hand, they turn around and start walking back upstairs because they need to see, you know, what is going on here. How are they possibly talking to somebody who they just saw upstairs with no way of getting back down there? After shaking this doppelganger's hand, their hand was tingly. And when they got back up to the room with their original friends, with the doppelganger in tow, Sleepy began to cower and cry when he saw himself. Our author then asked Sleepy if he had a twin brother, and Sleepy said that he didn't. So at this point, they're not really scared because the doppelganger shook their hand. But now, they know that this is not Sleepy's brother. So what is this? I really don't know what this is. This is just a weird doppelganger glitch in the matrix vampire type situation. I have no idea. There's a lot of paranormal kind of out there theories of what this could be, but I'm really not sure. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not a big vampire expert. So there are three different types of modern vampires, apparently, which I just learned from doing a quick bit of research. So there are sanguinarian, which actually feed on very small amounts of blood, psychic, and hybrids. So apparently psychic vampires, instead of feeding by traditional blood, sip on life energy through a tentacle that's attached to people's auras, because people have auras that protect their energy and their chakras, and these psychic vampires feed on that aura. Psychic vampirism has been a part of occult literature since the 19th century, and the idea that some people borrow or take energy from others is common throughout Asia. So then the third type, the hybrids, would, I'm assuming, be a mix between the bloodsuckers and the aura eaters. So there's a lot going on in this story, to say the least, but it only gets crazier because in the follow-up to this story, our author goes to see the same friend about a half a year later, and they're going over to their house to watch some TV. And so now, at the crib, it's our author, original friend, and friend's neighbors, who are just a married couple. So it's the four of them. Sleepy is nowhere to be found. We don't know what happened to him. Hopefully he's okay. So they're watching TV, and all of a sudden, a woman bursts into the house. And she was very loud and slammed the door behind herself. She was apparently a college-aged woman who took a seat next to our author and took out her phone and began to just scroll on it. Pretty weird that they don't say anything and nobody acknowledges them. But this will come back up. So our author sees this person and figured that maybe their friend set them up on a blind date. But after about 20 minutes of being on her phone, she gets up and storms out, slamming the door behind her. She also does not say anything when she leaves and nobody reacts. So our author figured that they were just late to the party, but as it turns out, our author asked their friend and the neighbors if anybody had seen her, and nobody did. So you may be thinking, oh, maybe this is a ghost. But apparently it is also vampire lore that when you are touched by a vampire, because remember, our author shook hands with that doppelganger. When you are touched by a vampire, instead of being bitten, you soon meet another vampire. So is it possible that our author is now a medium for vampires and now just has this sixth sense for vampires? Who knows? But a very, very fascinating story, that's for sure. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for episode 42 of Real Stories. This week you have heard My Friend's Doppelganger Showed Up to His House by Anonymous. Then, What Did She See? by Electrical Load 2413, who that's actually a user that I've used a story from before. So big shout out to them. Thank you very much. And finally, How I Met Uncle Bobby by Doc MLZ. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors. If you have a story that you would like to hear on the show, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com. And you can remain anonymous. And remember to go to betterhelp.com/realstories for 10% off your first month of therapy. Thank you guys again so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, make sure you give it a rating. Post about us on social media if you really liked it, and tell a friend. And I will see you again next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a great rest of your week and stay safe.